But here David says this in Psalms 19:14. He says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. My. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. Thankful, Lord, that the doors are back open in the church house, Lord. And we're thankful, Lord. I don't know of any church members, Lord, that have contracted this terrible virus, Lord. And thank you for the hedge you put about us. Pray that you'd continue that, Lord, and hold us up, Lord, by the power of your might. Give me unction to preach tonight. And let it be what's on your heart and on your mind tonight for your people. We thank you for all those who have come out tonight. And pray for Sunday services, Lord, that everything would go to your pleasing, Lord. And all this we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. David said, let it be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And that's what we go through as pastors. when I started pastoring here, I'm in my 21st year now, I decided if I was going to pastor, I wasn't going to worry about what the folks thought. I just wasn't. I was pastoring for the Lord my God. If I please the Lord, I'm good with it. Now, whether we have 12 or 1,200, if I please the Lord, I'm good with it. It's his church. I belong to him. I'm his spokesman. I'm his voice. Every preacher, every Christian is, as John the Baptist, a voice crying in the wilderness, proclaiming our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And doing it the way that God puts on your heart. He gives you abilities and gifts that you use to the glory of God. So here in this Psalm of David, we find King David entreating the Lord that whatever he says and whatever he thinks about, whatever thing that he meditates on in his heart, be acceptable to God. Now, according to Noah Webster, the word acceptable means to be received with consent or approbation or favor. We want God to be in agreement with what I'm thinking about, what I meditate on, and what comes out of my mouth. Approbation has to do with approval or as being pleasing to the receiver. And as a pastor, I hope that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in God's sight. Been a very interesting time. Jeremiah Gabbard and David and Rachel have kind of taken over and gotten the job done here. And Sam preaching some of those nights, Brother Phil Gabbard, and everyone stepped up. And I think God uses all that to his glory. Now, you and I were honest with God this evening. We would probably all have to admit that not all of our words or not all of the meditations of our heart are acceptable to God. I've said things that I wish I could take back. I've thought things that I wish I hadn't have thought. And the Bible tells us what things to think on, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are just, whatever things are of good report, think on these things. He tells us what to think on. And it said, if you delight yourself in the Lord, is that the verse says that your thoughts will be established? But we don't always go there. Our prayer, like David, should be for that approval from God of everything we say and everything we think. Most of the time, what a man speaks from his mouth reveals a condition of the heart. The Bible says, in fact, the Lord spoke, and he said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. My. A word hastily said can sure get someone in trouble. The Bible said in Proverbs 6, 2, said, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. You'll see the news media. The news media and the fake news media, they're so preoccupied with one little word out of place, and they'll jump all over it and take it out of context and make a deal out of it that really wasn't a deal at all. But many times the words of our mouth do reflect the conditions of our hearts. The whole thought in this thing, in the message I want to preach tonight, is the fact that whatsoever we say or think or do should be with the express purpose of being pleasing to God. We should seek God's approval in how we act, what we say, what we think, where we go. Our conversation, the Bible refers to all that, that lumps it together as a man's conversation. What you are to the world and what you are to God. You remember Abraham. Abraham had a great reputation among men, and God told him, said, well, the Bible says he had whereof to glory, but not before God. Little different now when it's just you and God. Now folks may think that you're the best thing since sliced bread, and you might be. I mean, you may, and what they say from the natural man, the test is wonderful, but then when you get alone with God, now I'm talking, I guess I'm talking about me personally, because we'll have a great day at church and people compliment the sermon and the singing and everything, and you'll just think, it all went so well. And then that night when you get alone with God and you just feel like you're not worth shooting sometimes. See, it's a little different when you're standing before God. When you're there trying to, well, God, should I have said this? You know, the preachers go through a thing, most of them call the Monday blahs. With me, it starts Sunday night. It don't wait till Monday with me. It usually starts Sunday night and then goes through Monday and Monday night, where you really do a nosedive after the preaching. You really take a, you really, about a depression sets in, like, well, why did you say that? Or why did you do that? Or this and that. You go through it. And for several years, I thought it was just me. And then I heard other preachers talking about that very same thing. Obviously, we want the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts to be acceptable unto God. You know, there's a lot of things that the natural man thinks should be acceptable, and they're many times they're not. One of my favorite passages is at 1 Peter 2:20. I don't know if that's the right address, but he said, for what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your fault you take it patiently, but if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Wow. So we find that God accepts some things that, you know, we think, well, if I suffer for well-doing, I'm upset. Why did they do that to me? Why are they saying that about me? And God says, when you learn to take that kind of stuff patiently, this is acceptable with God. There's some things that's difficult to take patiently. There are for me. I'm sure there are for most of you. But what pleases God may or not please me. And whatever pleases you may or not please God. The Bible says in Psalm 7 in verse 9 that God trieth the hearts and the reins. The reins have to do with those things that control. You know, if you're riding a horse, you've got the reins. Or if you've got a buggy being pulled by a horse, you got that G-Haul thing, you know, and the reins dictate the control that you have over that animal. And in this context, it's what motivates someone to do something. What motivates you or me to say something mean to someone is motivated or controlled by the meanness in our hearts. Mean-spirited. I've seen some mean-spirited preachers. I wouldn't sit under them. You've seen them. You've been around them. Everything's mean. I don't want a preacher that's mean as a snake. I'm about all I can handle as it is. Examine me, David said, examine me, O Lord, and prove me, try my reins and my heart. David wanted to have it right. Sometimes I've said or done something that I ask God to examine after the fact. It's a legal term, ex post facto. And I have to repent of it. I have to confess it as sin. Like I really didn't know that when I said it, when I did it, that I shouldn't have done that, shouldn't have said that. Oh, what do you think, Lord? It may have, maybe it seemed like the right thing for me to do or say at the time, but it sure didn't pass muster with God. That's how it is many times. So then what we offer up to God in the way of what we say, what we do, what we think is either going to be acceptable or it's not going to be acceptable to God. Now here's the rub. Here's the rub. The average fundamental church in America today is so caught up with what man's perception is of what their church should be that we simply leave God out of it many times. You can't leave God out of the equation when it comes to church. He is church. We're His body. Folks, man, we'll concentrate on being dressed to a T, singing those hymns, raising hands, and never, ever, many times consider the fact that folks are dying and going to hell because nobody's ever told them about Jesus Christ. No one's ever declared the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ and the wonderful, amazing grace in what He did for us. You got to put things into perspective. You see, some folks get so caught up with being religious, they neglect trying to be Christ-like. Man, our Lord, he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. A preacher I know once wrote, he said, someday the bums from the lower ends of New York, Los Angeles, Miami, and St. Louis are going to rise up and confront the body of Christ with no man cared for my soul. And along with them, the billions of Africans and Asians who were just left in the dark because nobody ever told them about Jesus. Psalms 142, 4, and I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Hey, I don't want church to become a dead religious institution where propriety and piousness has taken the place of a Christ-like burden for the souls of men and the tender heart that our Savior had toward all people. Remember when He was born, and glad tidings to all people. He came to save all people. It's just a matter of whosoever will. But how are the whosoever wills going to come to Christ if no one's told him about Him? No one declared Jesus Christ. Ezekiel wrote this same thing. Ezekiel 33:31, and they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them, for with their mouth they show much love, but with their heart goeth after their covetousness. We especially have to watch it in America. We're the most opulent society probably in the world. I don't know that that's true, but we've sure got it made compared to the majority of the populations of this world. Man, I go on my prayer walk at night, and I come in my driveway, and man, I got a pickup truck sitting there, a nice car in the garage. I got a tractor. I got an old beat-up camper. Man, wow! I've got it made. And I just want, God, you've blessed me. Lord, you bless me. I don't have that kind of blessing coming to me, Lord, but I'll take it. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name. Most of the world don't have that. Those who deal with the addictions program, you're aware of that. The struggles that so many go through. Dan and Rachel for years fought that fought and got to... those folks on the street, the struggles. The saying today, the struggle is real, and it is real. But so is the blessings of God. Blessings of God, they're real to me. And I don't want to have to labor all these years in the ministry just to find out that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart were not acceptable to God. I do know that as long as I stick to the word, as long as I stick to the book, the words of God are always going to be acceptable to God. Now, my opinions about them may or may not be. The Bible says, preach the word. Don't say to preach your opinions, even though how do we keep from it? God says, preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the book. Ecclesiastes 12:10, the preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even the words of truth. There it is. That's a good verse. Ecclesiastes 12:10. I'll read that again. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. Thy word is truth. Bible says his word will not return void. So then, one key to our labor being acceptable to God is stick with the stuff. Stick with the word of God. You know, a guy will take issue with your opinion about something, but it's hard to take issue with the words of God. If you've got a controversy with the word of God, you've got a problem. You can have a controversy with a preacher or with a church or something else, but when you have a controversy with what saith the word of God, you better do some examination there. James 1:22 says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now you got to watch out for that. I've seen churches, a fundamental churches, Bible-believing churches that have sat and soaked up that scripture for years and years without ever putting any of it into action. Still haven't told anyone about Jesus Christ. Oh, but they know the book. I've pondered this thing in my heart several times. When I'm on my prayer walk, You'll find people from down in the hills, and their doctrine so messed up, and they're so messed up about a belief on this point or that point, but they got a heart of gold, and they love God, and they're looking forward to heaven, and they love their Savior. It's hard to be mad at those folks. Now, they ought to be in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church and bring that heart to the church. On the other hand, the other side of that coin, if you've got people that are scripturally smart, brilliant about the book, but they don't have the heart toward the Lord. They don't. What's that about? You've got to bring those two together. You've got to bring those two together. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required, the Bible says. The Lord said that. Secondly, First of all, stick to the word. Secondly, we as Christians need to see the need. There's needs all around us. We need to see the need of this lost world. Jesus said in John 4:35, lift up your eyes and look on the field, for they are white, all ready to harvest. Ezekiel 22:30, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Stick to the book. See the need. Thirdly, we need to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Boy, I don't like that word sacrifice. It means you got to give up something. Yeah. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I've had relatives. Back when I was on the road, I had relatives tell me that. Phil Gabbard said, well, he's kind of a fanatic about it. So am I now. Wasn't so much back then, but I am now. I'm a real fanatic about the Word of God and trying to preach it right. And it says here, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Hey, a dead sacrifice doesn't do God any good. The Bible says a live dog is better than a dead lion. Duh. A live dog is better than a dead lion. That fellow's a lion when it comes to knowing the Bible. Boy, he's sure smart about it. Yeah, he sure is, but with all that knowledge, he didn't do a thing for God. What's that about? Romans 6:11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, watch it, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So how can being dead to sin be acceptable to God if we refuse to be alive to God? Well, I'm reckon this body is dead to sin. But it needs to be alive to God. That means available for duty. Present, sir, and available for duty. That means ready to go do what needs to be done for the gospel's sake. When's the last time that we did something for the gospel's sake? The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 6:8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And whom will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Sticking to the word. Deuteronomy 11:18, therefore shall you lay up these, my words, in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. Psalms 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou may. Remember that verse, Joshua. Meditate upon these things, Paul told Timothy. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Sticking to the word, seeing the need, having a burden for the lost. Jesus coming into Jerusalem, the Bible says in Luke 19:41, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and he wept over it. He saw the need. That holy city. Oh, and one point talked about Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stoneth the prophets and killeth them that are sent with me. How oft would I have gathered you under my wings as a hen gathereth her chicken, but you would not. And he come to that holy city and he wept over it. He saw the need. The need was great. The fields were white and ready to harvest. Thirdly, sacrificing your body as a living sacrifice to God in order to accomplish his will. Ephesians 5:10, Paul said, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. In our text, David said, he wanted everything he did to be acceptable to God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I hope you want that same thing. I hope that I want that same thing. I'd like to see everything this church has done according to God's word and to be acceptable in his sight. I'd like it to start with me. Everything done with a heart of worship and praise. Whatever it is, the prayers, let it be from the heart. The music, the singing, from a heart of worship. And giving God the best that we have to give him. Giving the best. Was it Brother Doyle that I got this from? Maybe Jack Hiles. On our bus ministries years ago, wherever I went, if nobody had a bus ministry started, I'd go start one. I did it at Lighthouse. But the parents, many times when you go visiting on visitation for the bus ministry, the parents say, well, what should he wear? What kind of clothes do they need to wear? I tell them, we don't care what they wear. Just put them in their best. Isn't that good? We don't care what they wear. Just put them in their best. That's how our worship should be. We should give God our best. The music, whether it's bluegrass or whether it's Italian opera, let the discerning spirit of God see a heart of worship in whoever's doing it. There's a lot of music, contemporary stuff that don't move me one iota. But it isn't about me. That person's got a heart of worship. It's about God. It's for him. We think we're entertaining each other. It's for him. Seeing that heart of praise, worship, and the service should carry over to your daily lives as your life is acceptable to God. I better watch the time here. What you say, what you wear. Uh-oh, preacher, I was with you till you brought that up. A lot of folks, it don't matter what, like I said, it don't matter. We don't care what they wear as long as it's in their best. But what's a verse that said, and one came that had sat by the roadside with the attire of a harlot. What's that about? So evidently, that person was distinguished by what they wear. You can tell a lot about people. I don't want to get on that. What you watch? What kind of programming do you like? What you listen to? What you listen to? I remember going to a murder scene one morning. I was county sheriff at the time, filling the unexpired term. Ripley County Sheriff. And I walked in that house, and that old heavy metal music was playing loud as you walked in. There were pentagrams and lipstick on the mirrors. So, music is neutral. Yeah, it's neutral, all right. Tell it to your grandma. Rub when you say, tell it to your grandma. What you do in service to the Lord of glory, who loved you and gave himself for you. Do you have a mind of Christ when it comes to being burdened for the lost? Do you have that? We should. Luke 10:2, therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Hey, soaking up all the preaching and all the things that you get out of church, that's just a classroom. That's a training ground. I've been in churches, you walk out the door and there'll be a sign, might have had one at Lighthouse, sign over the door as you exit that says the mission field. As soon as you walk out the door. My. Time to get on board. Let the church roll on. An old bluegrass song. Let the church roll on. Let the church roll on. Time for many of us to graduate. We've got what we how many we have graduating from Hope Baptist School this year? Hope is graduating. And Jared? All right. Very good. It's time for we as Christians, you take that knowledge that you've learned, knowledge of the holy, and you turn it into action. Turn it into action. Do something for the cause of Christ. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable unto my Savior. I want to be that person. Your prayers will help me to be that person. We need to all examine our hearts from time to time, because the Lord will try your hearts and try your reins. I'd love to be like Phil said, I shall come when I'm tried, I will come forth as gold. I haven't always done that. I've come forth as sometimes some rusty tin instead of gold. But that's the message tonight. Everyone stand up. You're here tonight. You've never trusted Christ for salvation. I didn't disappear and picking up a key off the floor. It'd be a good night to do that. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Be a good night to come to Christ if you've never done that. I look around the room. I trust everyone in this room is saved tonight. Are you serving? There's a lot of folks saved but not serving. There's many, I fear, that are serving and not saved. But if you're saved, it'd be a good time to get out into the vineyards and go to work. Be a good time. The country's in a mess. The world's in a mess. I'm working on a message now about, you're familiar with the old Navy term, it gave them a shot across the bow. I think maybe the Lord just gave the world a shot across the bow. A shot across the bow. That's what the message I'm working on. Well, Psalms 19 talks about, by God's judgment, thy servants are warned. Said you should love God. That's hard to do. Should be a warning. How we react to it should be a witness. There's different things. Maybe I'll have that put together by Sunday. But the altar's open tonight as we sing. What page, Jeremiah?
308.
Page 308.